We are in chapter 3 of Egaris Teshuva. This chapter, we continue with our caveat of don't do anything until we're done. Because even in this chapter, which sounds very severe when we're just learning it, the Alter Rebbe himself negates it, his own recommendation.
Uh-huh.
Okay. We were talking before about the way to get back on God's good side is after a person did tshuva, which means to remove oneself from doing something wrong and to resolve never to do it again. Afterwards, a person has to, that puts a person back down to zero, but a person wants to get in like he was before, so he says they used to do karbonas, and now they don't have karbonas, they now do fasting.
Yes.
Okay, and he gives a whole list according to the Arizal, 63 fasts for getting angry, and 44 or 53, I don't even remember the numbers,
right.
Fasts for drinking not kosher wine, and all this kind of stuff. Okay, so hine. Chachmei ha-musar achorayin nechleko v'mi shechata chet echad pamim rabbis. There is a discussion among the Kabbalists as to what to do if a person did one sin many times.
Aha. Okay.
Okay. So what are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to fast the number of times that a person sinned? Or is it just do it once? There is that opinion that says yes. You have to fast the number of times, how many times he did the sin. That it says, for example, a person who has sinned by masturbating, so that sin is corrected by fasting 84 fasts. Let the guy transgressed 10 or 20 times. So then he has to fast 10 or 20 times 84.
Yes.
And so would be the sin. And that's just for one sin. And what would be with every other sin that he does?
Yeah.
So it's going to be basically...
The guy wouldn't eat another day.
Yeah, you'd be able to cut down really on your food bill, yes.
Yes.
Okay. Daimler Carbon Chattis. Similar. Yeah. Similar to a sin offering, shechayv lehevi al kol pam b'pam, which that person has to bring it for each and every time he did something wrong. There's all kinds of discussions in the Gemara. There's all kinds of discussions in the Gemara. For example, you have in Hilchos Shabbos, you have something called avos malachos. 39 avos malachos, right? Why are they called avos? They're called
fathers, right.
Why are they called father? Because you can only be a father if you have kids.
Right.
So what are the kids? For example, so there's something called kid works. These are also prohibited by the Torah. But the definition of av malacha is that it was done in the Mishkan. A tolda would be the similar type of work that was done, but it wasn't done in the Mishkan. Like, for example, in the Mishkan, they ground wheat and they ground spices. Okay, right. So therefore we have this prohibition of grinding.
Right.
If you grind down a diamond on Shabbos, so they didn't grind diamonds in the Beis HaMikdash, but you can't, it's the same act.
Right.
It's exactly the same thing, it's grinding is grinding, so that's a tilde.
Right.
So if a person didn't know about the malacha of grinding,
right,
and he ground wheat and ground diamonds, so technically speaking he would only have to bring one sin offering. Because it's all the same act. He did the same. It's not that that's it. Provided that he did it on one shot. He did. With Shabbos, he didn't know that grinding was a prohibition.
Right. Okay.
And therefore, for every act of grinding that he does, it all fits into the one act. Because what he did wrong was he didn't know that grinding was a prohibition.
Right. Okay.
Okay. If someone told him, "Hey, you're not allowed to grind,"
yes,
he says, "Oh, oops." And then the next week he goes and grinds again.
Yeah.
So now he has to bring two. Because he knew in between.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
This is the way it's going to go always. It says, Mashiach is going to come. And the second thing that Mashiach is going to do, the first thing that Mashiach is going to do is going to decide who's Jewish.
Mm.
He's got a big job. You know, you got to say, is this guy Jewish? There's a lot of people out there that think that they are Jewish who aren't.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people out there who think they are not Jewish that are.
Yeah.
And I can tell you stories about both. Okay? There's here in Michigan, there's a guy that I've known since he was 22. He is now 42.
Mm.
And this guy has what you would call unlucky in love. This guy has been like, I've met the woman of my dreams like, I don't know how many
11
times.
11 times, right?
Yeah, I don't know how many times.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And he's like gone all over the world before the woman of his
wake up, right?
Yeah, so. So he finally meets this woman.
Yeah.
And everything's just wonderful, and he's just like, he says this is it, and I have a ring, and this is we're gonna do this.
Yeah.
I said, that's great, that's wonderful. So the day that he was told me he was going to get engaged, so I called him up to wish him a mazel tov.
Yeah.
And he said, I didn't ask her yet. I said, what's up? He says, well, last night my folks met her folks, and we all sat down to dinner. And her mother said, it's so nice that you agreed to raise the kids Jewish, because I did, and I think it's such a wonderful thing, even though I'm not Jewish. So here's this girl who went to conservative Hebrew school, she knows how to sing Adonolam Asher Malam.
Yes,
knows the whole deal.
The whole shebang.
Okay, and when it was proposed to her that she convert, she said, "Why? Jewish.
Why I'm Jewish?
I'm Jewish.
I'm good. Okay? I'm good. Yes."
Yeah. So Mashiach is going to have a tag.
Wow.
Sorry, even though you have a Jewish last name and your father took you to shul.
Meh.
Sorry.
Yeah.
But similarly, there is a woman who goes to a class of mine whose brother got engaged to a non-Jewish woman from the west coast of Michigan. And they went there for some kind of Sunday something or another, ham dinner or something like that, to meet the family.
Perfect.
Okay. And she warned her intended, this non-Jewish girl, said, listen, my grandmother is a really feisty woman. She's really opinionated, and she loves to fight with people. Uh-huh. And just stay away from her.
Perfect.
Okay? So, as it turned out, when they all sat down, he wound up sitting right next to Grandma.
Right next to Grandma. Of course.
So as they're passing the potatoes and the sweet potatoes and the string beans, so she turns to him and says, "You're a Jew."
Yeah.
And he, like, the whole room is just like, it's like the silence was palpable.
Hmm.
And he says, "Yes." And he says, "Well, I got a secret for you. I'm Jewish too." And she turned around, went around the table, and she said, "And you're a Jew, and you're a Jew, and you're a Jew, and you're a Jew. And then she turned to the fiance and said, "And you're Jewish too." You know, turned to the, so this guy's into marrying and marrying a Jew.
And marrying with Jews. Yeah.
What happened? She came from Czechoslovakia, and they ran away as far as they could to get away from the Nazis.
Yeah.
And she just never told anybody she was Jewish.
Wow. Yeah.
So.
Gosh. There you go.
You know, so Mashiach's got his work cut out for him. That's the first thing he's got to do.
Yeah.
Number two is, now once he's got all these Jews lined up in front of him, he's going to tell them, your lucky number is 470 sheep. And you're going to have to bring 1,000 sheep. And you're a good guy. You're only going to have to bring 10 sheep.
Right.
My advice to everybody has been, being that we're so close to Mashiach's coming, sheep futures.
Yeah. Indeed, yes.
Okay. So Mashiach is going to have to come and tell us all the things that we've done wrong in the course of our lifetimes.
I'm going to invest in cloning.
Yeah, really. I mean, you know.
I'm going to have to make my own sheep.
Well, there is an easy way out. It says, you know, you and I have an easy way out because, you know, when Mashiach comes, of course, we'll go back to polygamy, and every time you go under the chuppah, it's like you're reborn.
So yeah, that's it.
That's it.
That's
no,
it. Yeah.
You know, you just have to pay $20,000 for a wedding.
I'm gonna say, but I can't. I don't know if I can support that 736 wives.
Anyway. Okay, so that's one opinion. One opinion is that number of times the sin is repeated, number of times a person's going to have to fast.
Right.
Dumi korban chatas shechayav lehevi al kol pampava. Yesh medamim inyan zel lekorban oila habal yid al mitzvus ase. There is a one who says that you should have to consider this not because it's not a sin offering. You can't offer sin offerings. You can't even do things that are like commemorative sin offerings because there's no temple. But what should you do? He says is if a person were to offer up an oila, if a person didn't put on tefillin and didn't say shema and didn't daven and didn't put up a mezuzah on his door, he has to bring one sacrifice for all the things that he didn't do that he should have done. Korban oila covers the whole deal.
Got to cover it, yeah, right.
Da afilu aver al kama mitzvasei miskaper b'oila achas k'diisa b'perakama d'zvachim. He did didn't do a lot of things he was supposed to. Mm. One sacrifice does it. V'hamachriya amakubalis b'zeh. What's the rectification between these two? The happy medium that they agreed upon. Gimel pam kifi misper hatsumas chat dechat dechit zeh. Three times. Mm. Not three sin, three times fasting, but right. Three times the number of fasts that he needs to fast for each sin.
That's all.
Yeah. The higher, for example, ration and base tumas al hitzashifulazera. Three times 84, which is 252,
right.
For all the number of times that he masturbated.
Yes.
Became Rishar Chatoyim Avonis, and it's the same thing is going to be with every sin. Now he's going to give a reason why just right now, but there is an expression which is taken in the Talmud, and it was seen it's seen practically. The first time a person sins, they feel really bad.
Yeah.
The second time, it's like, wow, I can't believe I did that again.
Yeah.
And the third time, he's already justifying why he had to do it.
Right.
Okay, we saw this for sure with my grandfather's generation that came here in the early 1900s that were told, you got to go to work.
Right.
So the first time they would work on Shabbos, he never worked on Shabbos a day in his life. The first time he worked on Shabbos, he cried.
Yeah.
The next week, felt bad. The third time, I got to feed my family. I'm going to lose my job otherwise. It's a mitzvah for me to go to work on Shabbos.
Right.
So that became the prevalent norm, unfortunately.
Sad to say.
Okay, because by three times, the person's already used to it. So you say three times, they're already used to it, okay, so clean up the three times. That's physically speaking, or psychologically. What about spiritually? The reason is explained in the Zohar, Seif Parshas Noach. Kivin dechav bar nash kami dekutshu briches manecha de ovid reshimai. When a person sins, it causes a blemish on his soul. By the third time, the sin has caused a blemish which has totally permeated his soul.
Permeated the being.
Okay? Yeah. It doesn't get, in other words, as far as the effect of on the soul, the saturation point on the soul itself is the third time. Anything after that, it's just like pouring water onto a wet sponge.
Yeah.
Okay? It's bad. It's not. I'm not condoning and saying, listen, the third time count and the fourth time is free. No, that's not what I'm saying. Rabbi Finman said, after three times, I'll feel
after
bad.
After three times, it doesn't matter. Do whatever you
fourth,
want.
The fourth time is okay.
Yeah.
The four to 100 is good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
okay?
That's what he said.
Now, it's similar. There is an example where that does work. For example, if you have to check eggs for blood spots.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
But you only have to check the first 60. Because after you get to the 60th one, so anything after that's going to be both b'shishim. So it doesn't matter.
60, 60.
So you know, check the first 60, and if you got to do 1,000 more eggs, just crack them, throw them in.
Yeah.
Okay? Which they have, there are commercially produced eggs that come in huge buckets, bakeries use them. And the eggs say over there, checked.
Right.
Okay, these eggs were checked. Which leaves me to believe as a consumer that some yokel was standing there looking at every single egg and he checked every egg to make sure there's no blood. No. They checked the first 60 and after that the eggs went into the machines and they were machine cracked and thrown in and mixed in and everything's fine.
Right.
Okay, so.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So therefore, that's how many a person should do. Remember I'm saying, don't do this at home. Do not do this.
Don't
sit down and figure how many sins you've done and go get yourself one of these shar or whatever from the Rizal and say, well, I did this time, this many times, I did that many times.
Right.
And okay, so three times this is going to be this many fasts.
Yeah.
And don't bother making supper tonight, honey, for me for the next couple of years. No, don't do that.
Lekach
tzorech misper hatsumas gam kengim. That's why you have to have the number of sin, the number of fasts also should be three times the number, because if you're going to take three times to permeate the soul and saturate the soul, it's going to take three times the number of fasts to remove that spot.
Right.
He says, wait a minute though, but that's with a strong person.
Strong and healthy.
Perfect. That he's going to be able to fast with no problem.
Yeah.
Okay? Like we had in the last chapter, these people that fasted till their teeth turned black. Yeah. Between you and me, fasting till your teeth turn black is not exactly what you call a healthy...
I wouldn't call it healthy.
No, but...
it's not good for your teeth.
The fact that they... Yeah, for sure not. But these guys, you know... these... You know, people never knew until this generation that your teeth weren't supposed to fall out of your mouth.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
So
that's right.
You know,
yeah.
So, Kamodars are Rishinis. Okay, in earlier generations, so they can fasting for them was nothing.
Right.
It didn't. They could have had a clear head. They could sit. They could learn. They could teach. They could do whatever they had to do. They didn't need to eat. Avomisha Riva Tzemes Mazik Loi.
Yeah.
But a person who's going to be caused physical harm by these fasts, the guy could get sick, he could get weak, like in our generations, and this is talking about the time of the Alter Rebbe.
Mm.
In the times of the Alter Rebbe, you still had people that were fasting from Friday to Friday.
Yeah.
Okay, we only ate on Shabbos day. You know, so those people, no such people exist nowadays.
Uh-uh.
I don't care where the Holy Roller might live. There's nobody fasting those kind of fasts anymore. Asalola harbis betinus.
Okay, may I ask a dumb question? You're talking about daytime fasts?
Daytime fasts, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
Okay, so that's forbidden for that person to fast. Because daytime fast, listen, how do you feel after the end of Shiva Asar Batamas? I'm not fun to be around. Okay, and I've got my excuse to tell people I'm not learning with you tonight because I fasted all day, you know. And if Hashem doesn't like the fact that I'm not teaching at night or teaching in the afternoon on Shiva Asar Batamas, that's fine. Let him cancel it. I didn't request it. It's not my doing. I never would have put in for it. He didn't ask for my
exactly. He didn't ask your. He didn't check your.
He didn't check my cards.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I put in my card what kind of things I wanted. I put in Purim, some Pastera, Lag BaOmer, Tu B'Shvat.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of things I put in for.
Yeah. Well,
okay. So even for the worst sins. Okay, the most heinous of sins, a person still shouldn't fast that amount. Because what happens now, as he's going to say right now, is that person's also called a sinner. For fasting that much.
Yeah.
So what did he accomplish? If by doing a sin he causes a blemish on his soul. And his by fasting he's called a sinner. So when he's fasting now, he's putting a blemish on his soul.
Good deal.
So
it's
not working. It's going to be counterproductive. So you're absolutely forbidden from doing it.
So what you're saying now, the saint is stet. The stain is set.
Well, he's gonna give a caveat for that. We're not gonna get to it today, but okay. And for sure, if a person didn't do something right or did some kind of small thing wrong, which doesn't involve karis, he's not allowed to fast. How much can he fast if he measures himself, if he's watching himself and understands, well, I could fast this many fasts and it'll be okay. Because remember, there's no time limit on this. This is until the guy's 120.
Right.
Okay? So he says, listen, I got to fast six fasts a year anyway. I'll fast eight. Okay? Just two more to get him in. But even in the times of the Gemara, we're talking about all these people fasting so much, that was only the healthy people that they didn't get affected by it. But a person who can't take it and is physically weakened from it and therefore can't learn is called a sinner.
Yeah.
The Gemara Parakamar Thomas. Okay? Because now, first of all, he's weakening himself. You have to be healthy.
Right.
It is a mitzvah to be healthy. So if a person is doing something which is causing themselves injury, he is violating the commandment that you should be healthy. In addition to that, so he's got this whole thing now. Now it's because I don't feel so good because I'm fasting. I'm not going to learn.
Yeah.
So now he's over in Bittul Torah.
Right.
The fasting has caused him not to learn.
Right.
So this is counterproductive.
Working out good.
And it says, even for fasting, for something that he has done, like Rashi says, there's not a person alive who is not didn't do something wrong.
Yeah.
Even if it just involves a
positive
commandment.
Right.
A person who is supposed to be sitting and learning all day gets punished double. Because since he's fasting, he's not able to learn properly. So what should you do? Like you said, you're going to be stuck with your sins?
Yeah.
Stuck with the blemish?
Perfect.
Through and through?
Yeah.
So it says, your sins will be cast off through tzedakah. And he talks about this at length in the first 10 letters of Igeres HaKodesh about giving tzedakah. You're not buying your way into heaven. You're not bribing God. Okay? Yeah. The idea that tzedakah here is, okay.
I'm not buying penance?
No.
Okay.
You can't do that. And if you could, well, I have my price. So I would forgive you, you know, so.
Yeah. Oh, thanks.
A couple of grand and you got, you're in my good book.
Yeah.
It says, what should you do? Is you should give 18 something or another to tzedakah.
Yeah, coins. Yeah.
And basically, the way that it was, and if you're rich, you give more.
Yeah.
As the Magen Avraham writes over there about giving Yud Gimel Peshutin. Which I'm not sure how much shooting means. It's like a small coin, like pennies or something like that.
Uh-huh.
So when it was, there was a time, I think it was like 1979.
Yeah.
I think there was something going on with Mihu Yehudi. It was like the who was a Jew issue in Israel.
Okay.
And the Rebbe asked everybody to take on a half fast.
Really?
And to give the other half, he should redeem for how much he's going to eat that day.
Okay.
So you have to fast till noon, and then give a cut. And they determined that at that time, that a person eats about $5 to $7 a day.
Okay.
They should give $3.50 to to whatever. Then on when the Rebbe, for the 2 years after the Rebbe suffered a stroke until Gimel Thomas passed away, there were people who took upon themselves a certain number of fasts and redeemed them, like Yom Kippur Katan.
Right.
Everybody said, I don't know if you remember that. Were you around 93? No. Just coming around.
Yeah.
So the day before Rosh Chodesh is called Yom Kippur Katan, the small Yom Kippur.
Yes,
people fast that, and they say Slichos. And so there were people who actually fasted, and there were people who just gave $7 for charity that day.
Okay,
as a way of atonement or whatever, because we wanted to fast from the behalf of the Rebbe should get well.
Right, okay.
Okay, there were other things that people did, and there was a big thing over here that all the shulchan got together. There was about 50, 60 guys in the room. And they wanted to donate some, the deal was to donate some of your years to the Rebbe.
Mm.
Okay? And I don't remember exactly what it was. I think it was like 3 months of your life to donate it to the Rebbe.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and a lot of guys did it, and I just said no. I'm sorry, but I don't think this is anything that's worth doing, and I'm going to give up my 3 months of my life with no guarantee that it's going to help. So Hashem will take my 3 months, but it's not necessarily he's going to give it to the Rebbe, because you got 50, 60 guys over here, so you got 12 years
right.
just from us. It's not happening. The Rebbe's not going to live another 12 years. You know, so they're doing all kinds of stuff like that. Okay, yeah. So bottom line is, but before, don't do anything yet. Don't even now. Now he said, oh, all you have to sit down and figure it out and give all this money that I have to give to charity.
Right.
You know, so no, hold off. Don't do it yet.
Yeah,
you want to give charity, that's fine. Give charity.
But
don't do anything yet until we finish all 12 chapters. Oh, nice. To be continued.
Continued. Scrap. Very nice.